going on, everybody? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode number 420. And as always, brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon, anything you purchase there for a while gets us a little kickback. So if you have some papers you need to buy or some sort of tweezers or glassware, whatever.
Are you hinting at something?
No, I'm just like, if you have like paper, like post-it notes or tweezers to get like little, you know, mechanical pieces.
It seems like you know a lot about some stuff. I don't know.
No, I'm actually totally the opposite of that. But anyways, it'll get us a kickback and helps us keep the podcast going. As always, the host of the show is on the other screen. Bob, what's going on?
Not much, man. It's hot in this room.
Is it? It's actually kind of cooling down here. It's wonderful.
A high heat advisory where I live. And if you guys don't know, this office gets super hot. So if you see this shirt getting like damp, I might be sweating through the shirt. I mean, that's actually might happen this time. So, but yeah, another week, some interesting stuff going on. A lot of, some interesting stories, really cool products that I got to take a look at as well. Somebody in the comments already. Do you think Drop is a good brand? We reviewed a handful of different Drop keyboards. They are pretty good overall. You can get like a base kit too from them. That's just like the casing and PCB, and then kind of put in your own switches if you want to. I've used their Holy Panda X switches on their keyboards. They're good as well. But if you're asking if they're like a reputable brand, I would say so. They've been around a long time. Did Corsair buy Drop?
Yes.
Yeah. So Corsair bought Drop. So it's not like it's some random company there either. So yeah, we reviewed some of the products. We liked them, and we think, pretty good.
Absolutely.
Or especially if you're looking for like a pre-made, already together keyboard, if you didn't want to build your own, they're a pretty solid brand overall. So
I like their mouse mats too. They're like really like thick kind of, and really soft. Pretty nice.
Yeah. So I don't have one of their mouse mats, but I'm doing a video on Temu products that's going to be coming out soon. And I got a mouse mat off there. And while it does look nice, it's very thin. So thicker mouse mat is always better. And I know Drop does. Who are the ones that I have? I have a good amount of nice mouse mats too, because I always switch them out. Cause I just like, it changes your whole setup if you actually switch out your mouse mat. And I do it like every 6 months. I try to switch out my mouse mat. So in any case, episode 420. Lots to talk about. We do have our full show notes page here, guys, if you did want to go ahead and follow along. Everything that we're going to be talking about this week will be in the show notes, so you can click through as you're listening. Everything is linked here, so you can go ahead and do that. We'll go ahead and start out with our first review of the week, and this is essentially the new king of air coolers. But the question is it worth the price? So this is the Noctua NHD15 G2. So the original Noctua NHD15 came out all the way back in 2014. So it's been about 10 years. Wow. What a run, right?
That's a long run. I mean, you think of this one, the Hyper 212, right? Those are some long-running products that have like stuck around and kept up with times and performance. So that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So the original, it was always in the top of our test results when it came to CPU coolers. I think in everybody's, it was like, if somebody was doing a super high end air cooled build, Noctua NHD15 and maybe one of the Cooler Masters is typically, or the Assassin 4 from Deep Cool were like the ones that I would recommend. But to still be in the top of everything after like throughout that 10 years is really, really impressive, with companies continually coming out with products. So they had to eventually come out with a new one, and it had to be at least the same performance, if not better. So we have the new D15 NHD15 G2. looks almost identical, but it is a little bit different. They've added a few things, and it's actually technically smaller than the original NHD 15 by a little bit. That's actually because the fans are higher performance fans, so they don't need it as big of the heatsink towers don't need to be as big, which is actually kind of nice, but it's still massive. It's still a massive CPU cooler, and there's actually three of them. They have three different versions of this. We reviewed just the normal G2. That's going to work on any processor you want. Now, they do have an HBC version, which is high base connectivity. That's optimized for LGA 1700 processor, so specific Intel LGA 1700. And then they have low base convexity variant, which is optimized for flat CPUs like AM5, AM4, LGA 2066, and LGA 2011. So depending on your processor, you might want to get a different version. But we just reviewed the normal G2 version, which, again, will still work great on both AMD and Intel processors here. I know you guys just want to see the cooler. It's massive. Like, it is a big cooler. Dual fan, dual tower, just like the original. We have the newer fans here. These are the NF-A14X25R-G2 PWM fans. They're 140 millimeter fans. They are big, and there's no Chromax Black or any other color variant. You are going to get the Noctua Brown, which you hate or you love. I don't think there's an in-between. I honestly don't.
I don't know. I feel like there's an in-between because I'm still an in-betweener on these.
Oh, so no Chromax Black, at least as of yet. I would assume they're going to come out with one. You would think.
You would hope so.
But you have that color, and then the heat sinks, as you can see here, are just going to be silver. Now, one thing about these heat sinks, if we look at the top, actually, it's not in this picture because I probably didn't touch the top, but as soon as you touch it, you get fingerprints on it, like literally as soon as you touch it. That's one thing I did notice about that. Now, both of these fans, so you have two fans, one in the front and, of course, one in the center. Fan clips, it is a redesigned fan clip that does not fall, like, the older ones fell out of the actual fans pretty easily if you were kind of moving things around. These don't. They're redesigned. I'm still not the biggest fan of fan clips. I think we should, like, I know Corsair tried it, and their system was a little bit clunky. Somebody needs to come out with fans that kind of just slide on, that it's not a big whole process. But I don't know. But we have fan clips here. You can see both of the heatsink towers here, and you can see they are cut off at the bottom. This is so if you do have memory, it won't interfere with your memory or larger VRM cooling on your motherboard. When it comes to our heat pipes here, we have eight. So 8 heat pipes here. So a lot of heat pipes. And we can get a good look at those. That is actually an increase over the original, which only had 6. So they added more heat pipes, but they made the actual heatsink towers a bit smaller here. And we can take a look at the base, just like all Noctua coolers. Great finish on the base here. It just looks great. So yeah, just awesome. So you're going to have really good heat transfer from your CPU to the base of the cooler, up into the heat pipes and all of that. Now, installation is almost essentially just like all of their previous coolers. If you're familiar with their SecureFirm 2 mounting system, the mounting system they've had for over 10 years, it's very much the same, except for the backplate. You do have to install your own pegs. It's really easy to do. And the reason that they do that is because if this is going to support multiple processors over multiple generations and everything, the holes are a little bit different, say like from LGA 1200 to LGA 1700, they're different. So you have to put the pegs in yourself, but very easy to go ahead and do that. You, of course, put that on the back of your motherboard, thread it through, looks going to look like that. And then you're going to put the spacers for Intel. There are two sets of spacers included. one for older processors like we have here, which is LGA 1200. Then they have LGA 1700. They're different, they're color coded, so you won't mess it up. And again, the instructions that are included are very easy to follow. You go ahead and put your mounting bars on. Now, these are thumb screws, but one thing about this cooler that they did change is these are not normal screw holes. They're a hex bolt, which I find is very weird. And this is a hex bolt too. They do include the screwdriver, but over time, especially considering the previous cooler was like out for 10 years, and this is a CPU cooler that's going to last probably multiple PC builds, sometimes you lose the screwdriver, and not a lot of people have
like especially a one that's that
like
long.
A, yeah, right? Like a Torx screwdriver. So I don't know why they changed that. That's kind of one of my knocks against this cooler. Why did they change that? Don't know. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. They do include a Y adapter for the fans, so then you connect that to your CPU fan header, and you're pretty much good to go there. They also have a low noise adapter. The fans aren't really that loud, I wouldn't say, but they do include a low noise adapter, like they do on most of their coolers, if you want to run things a little bit cool or a little bit not as loud. But as you can see, if you have memory that has RGB on it, like we do, you're going to have a little bit of an offset. You're going to have to move the cooler or the front fan up a little bit. This will, you know, so something to keep in mind if you do have larger memory, but it will fully cover your memory too. So again, if you have RGB memory, it's going to be covered by this cooler. And that's kind of standard when it comes to these very large dual tower, dual fan coolers. No issues with VRM or anything like that. You can see, again, the front there. Now, in terms of performance, top of the line for the most part. Idle temperature, very, very close to the top, you know, but our low temperature tied with four other coolers in our test group at 51 degrees for our first load test, and tied at 63 degrees with only two other coolers, which include the Corsair A115 and the Cooler Master Master Air MA824 Stealth. Both of those are dual tower, dual fan coolers, and it sits at the top there as well. I would say the installation is easier than both of those coolers too. Noise levels kind of in the middle of the road there. Again, dual tower, dual fan, so we kind of do expect that. This is a cooler that I would totally recommend to people. Great cooler. Now, here's the thing. It's $150.
Ooh, boy.
So those other two coolers that performed pretty much the same, maybe didn't have as easy of installation, those are around $100 and $119. This is $150. That's a big bump.
That's a big jump for...
And it sets kind of like a new price for air coolers. That's kind of what we're getting at. This is going to be the new high-end air cooler is $150. That also makes it even a little bit more expensive than some pretty cheap 360 millimeter AIO coolers.
Yeah, I was just about to say, you're in the realm of some 360 AIOs for sure.
Yeah. I just think it's too expensive.
Yeah.
You can get the other coolers for $50 cheaper, basically. You can get a 280 millimeter AIO for like $100 too, 240, 280. It's just too expensive, especially for something that takes up that much space when you can do an AIO, take
right.
up less
you,
space.
You spend money on your RGB RAM and now you can't see it, right?
Yeah. I really like it. I think it's great for performance. It's just too expensive, in my opinion. Will prices go down? Probably. Now, there are the air cooling enthusiasts. This is what they're going to get because it's the top dog. But it's just, again, it's just too expensive, in my opinion. I still gave it a 9 out of 10. They do back it up with a 6-year warranty. I don't think that really matters as much because with air coolers, there's not a whole lot of moving parts beyond the fans. And yeah, like I said, completely covers the memory. No RGB either. It would be nice to see. I know like Be Quiet did it with their latest cooler. I forget which one, but they put RGB in it. And we've seen some other brands come up with like really aesthetically pleasing air coolers. This is very industrial looking. It's the typical Noctua design. You hate it or you love it, but it would be nice to see like some RGB, some like, you know, some caps.
Romax black even, just like, yeah.
Yeah. So those are the kind of knocks I have against it. I still think it's a great cooler, really high performance, but it's just priced. There are other options. And again, $50 can go a long way towards that next level graphics card, whether it's getting 16 gigabytes of DDR5 to 32 or any of those things, that $50 can go a long way.
Fans in your case, right?
Yeah, a lot of stuff. Old man in the chat says, Noctua has built a brand name for itself, so I bet they are counting on their hardcore fans to buy it. Yeah. That's the thing. It's like they're setting the standard. They know they are the standard for the most part when it comes to air cooling. That's just a big bump, I think. I think if this was like 119, I would definitely recommend it. But
that's what I was thinking. I was like 129-ish, maybe.
Yeah, it's just expensive. So did they ever release those black fans? I know they do have Chromax black fans. I'm not sure which ones you're specifically talking about, but they do have Chromax black fans. And again, a lot of their coolers are available in their Chromax black version. I assume we'll see a NHD 15 G2 Chromax black eventually. You would think, for all those people who don't like the normal color here. So yeah, but check out the review if you are interested. Like I said, I call it the new king of air coolers. It's just, it has that king price. So it's, if you want to pay that much for it. Moving on to our next review here. I have them on. This wireless headset here. Snazzy. From Asus. This is their ROG Delta 2. It's their new flagship wireless gaming headset. It's actually the first Asus headset that I've had the chance to review. So it was kind of like, you know, kind of see what Asus is doing in the headset space. I'm not necessarily an audiophile, but I like a good headset that I can wear, whether we're doing the podcast, I'm gaming for a long time, something that's comfortable, something that sounds good, and something that may have some other features that not every headset out there has. And I think this checks a lot of those boxes. So first, this is a wireless gaming headset, fully wireless. And one thing that's really nice about it off the bat is that it comes with two sets of ear cups. So I have the like more leather ones on right now, but they also have the sort of like breathable mesh ones that come with it. Nice. So that is really nice that it comes with that out of the box. You also do get, of course, the wireless dongle, which is type C. They include a type C to type A adapter too. So, you know, if you don't have a type C available, but that is the 2.4 gigahertz wireless dongle. And Asus has really worked on latency. You'll see a ton of wireless headsets are 2.4 gigahertz, but Asus has really fine-tuned theirs. They have a bunch of stuff on their website about the 2.4 gigahertz and how it's super low latency, how it doesn't interfere. If you have a lot of wireless stuff going on, it's not going to interfere. It's not going to drop out. I didn't have any wireless connectivity issues with this headset at all in my testing, which is good. So yeah, that's one thing that definitely going to set this headset apart from other wireless headsets is Asus. And they've done the same thing with all of their wireless products, whether it's their mice or their keyboards. We saw that in our review of their ROG Azoth keyboard, which is wireless as well. They've done a lot to really make wireless 2.4 gigahertz, like fine tune it so you have no latency, because that's the biggest thing. Whether it's a headset, if you're on a call, you don't want to be cutting out, and you're in a game and you don't want something to cut out and then the enemy's right in front of you, you didn't get to hear him. So definitely makes a difference there. Now, in terms of looks, like, I mean, you guys can see this headset. It's a pretty big, it looks big. Like, it looks big on me. If we look here, like it's definitely big, but it's actually pretty light. Like when I picked it up, I was like, wow, this is actually decently light. It's 318 grams, which is not necessarily all that heavy. Like the new Razer Kraken X4. That's like the newest one. That's the newest wireless headset. That's 350 grams. So this is definitely light. So you don't need a whole lot of cushioning per se, like on the actual headband, and it's flexible. So like you can flex these and you don't have to worry.
Is it like a rubberized plastic or something?
I didn't hear you because I had my headset.
Oh, yeah. Is it like a rubberized plastic or something that allows it that flexibility?
I don't know.
It looked very flexible.
It's very flexible. This section right here, like this is actually all metal,
right?
Which actually connects the headset and the headband. This is actually all metal. And I'm actually not really sure how they do that, but I was actually surprised that I could flex it, because a lot of the headsets, like, they do not flex, and they're, you have these big cans that are super heavy. And the problem with a lot of gaming headsets that I felt are really comfortable, they're not comfortable for a long time.
Long time, yeah.
The biggest problem is the headband starts to hurt the top of my head, or the ear cups start to hurt, like, right. Right here, like this part back here.
Oh, I don't ever get that. I get like my ears are like pressed against my head.
Okay.
You know, so.
Yeah. So this is really light, and that's what makes it really, really comfortable, at least for me. I felt like it was just a perfect balance per se of everything. So I really, really like that. You have in the ear cups themselves have this sort of triangular design, and it's on the inside too. So if we look at the ear cups, like, they have that sort of triangular design. It's not a traditional design. Typically, we see a circle or an oval. This is a little different. But it fully encapsulates your ears, which I think is excellent for a gaming headset, because it does give you sound isolation. There's no active noise canceling or anything like that, but it gives you more sound isolation from the outside world, which, if you're gaming, that's really what you want here. 50 millimeter drivers inside. All your controls are going to be on the headset itself. And one thing I like about the controls is that, you know, this is like a little volume knob, but then if you press it, it actually mutes the microphone. I kind of like that. You have your power button here, or multifunction button. So this is going to do a bunch of different functions for the 2.4 gigahertz connection. And that's the power right there. Now, one thing that's really cool about this headset is that it's tri-connection. So you can connect it three different ways. So you can connect it wired. It has a 3.5 millimeter jack on the opposite side right here. And you can connect it via Bluetooth. So you can turn the Bluetooth on. There's a button here to turn it on. It pairs really easily. But the kicker, the cool thing, is that you can have it connected to your PC via 2.4 gigahertz. And then say, I want to connect it to my phone. You can listen to both audio sources at the same time.
That's cool.
So say you're on your PC, you're in a meeting, you're in a Teams meeting, but then you're on your phone, you could be listening to music or a podcast or something else, and you can pause one, you know, you can do it or however you want, or you can just turn the meeting all the way down and turn the volume up, but it's all at the same time. Yeah. It's also going to prioritize when you do get a call, and you don't have to pick up your phone. You can tap the headset to answer the call. It also has, like, this button right here is a multifunction button. You can answer calls. You can go to the next song. You can play pause. Same thing with the other one. Cool. For the 2.4 gigahertz. So everything's on the headset. You don't really have to change anything. It's all going to be on the headset itself. So I really, really like that. But that dual mode functionality, as far as like two different audio sources, is just awesome. So like now, like my phone sits here, you guys can't see it, but it's on like a little stand, and now I don't even have to like pick my phone up at all. I can answer my calls. I can do everything. It's really nice that you have all that. Now, it does have a microphone. I don't have it connected. But the microphone is right here. You know, it's bendable like all the other ones. It connects. And one thing that's really nice about it, it's going to be really hard to see. I don't know if it's actually going to. No, it's not. Yeah, it's not. But the way you connect it, it's a certain shape, so you won't plug it in the wrong way. I really like that. And then on the end, this little part actually lights up when it's muted.
Oh, that's cool.
So I like that as well. So it gives you a visual cue that it is muted.
Is there a microphone that is like built into the headset as well if you don't want the boom mic, because I've seen that on some others where they have like a just a little hole or something.
No, they don't. They don't have that. And then as far as setting this up, you just plug in the dongle. It's super easy to go ahead and do that. Windows will recognize it, and you will be good to go out of the box. But if you did want to do any customization, you do have to install Asus's Armory Crate software. And it does have a good amount of customization. So first, you have your sound optimization. There's a drop down here, and it's going to give you a ton of different presets. Like this one's FPS. There's one, like the one I'm actually using right now is communication. Because we're on a call, sort of like on a call, so I can hear Ryan better. There's a bunch of different ones, and you can set your own as well. Like if you don't like any of the preset ones, you can set your own. So you can set the equalizer, you can turn virtual surround sound on or off, bass boost, reverb, voice clarity, everything on or off. So that's for just the audio. And then when it comes to the microphone, you can set a noise gate, which is really important. So say you're on a call and you're typing and you have a mechanical keyboard, you don't want everybody to hear your typing, especially if you're not talking. So you can set a noise gate and you can set up perfect voice, which will boost your voice a little bit for the microphone. And we do have sound tests, and for a wireless headset, the microphone's really, really good. So definitely listen to those. Those are in the review itself. Then you have settings for playback and recording. You can also set the voice prompt language. So you will get voice prompts if, like, when the Bluetooth connects and when you have low battery, you can set the language of that, which is really cool. You can turn on side tone. So you can do that. Of course, it does have RGB lighting. Like, you guys can see the RGB lighting. You don't have to have it turned on. Like, it's not something that's always on. You can turn it off if you want to. Of course, you can control that with Asus Aura. Really easy to go ahead and do that. As far as battery level goes, one thing that's cool about this is if you do have the RGB lighting off, it's 110 hours wireless. Nice. And it has fast charge. So if you charge it for 15 minutes, I think it gives you up to 11 hours. So pretty nice that you have the fast charge there. Now, if you do have the RGB lighting on, they say it's only 24 hours that you get. So there is a trade-off if you want the RGB lighting, but I didn't find that in my testing. Like, I've tested over the past couple of weeks. I only had to charge it like one time. You know what I mean? Okay. So it's not a lot. You do get battery level indicators as well that you can set up from, you know, 10% all the way up to 50%. It will give you a voice prompt in the headset. You can also set up a sleep mode too. That's the best thing with a wireless headset, because when I'm done gaming, sometimes I just set it down. I forget to turn it off. So it will go to sleep. You can set how many minutes of inactivity before it goes to sleep as well. So that's really nice that you have that. And of course, the last thing is firmware. Easy to update the firmware. Again, here's some shots of what the RGB lighting is going to look like there. And then here's a shot of it actually in the dark. But I really like this headset. It sounds good. Now, I have to say that not the best sounding headset that I've ever used, and not the best virtual surround sound. It's good, but not the best. Great. The sound, I think, if you just plug this in, you don't install Armory Crate, and you don't set up the sound yourself, it is going to sound a little flat. I think you do need to tune this headset, but once you do, you can get the best out of it, I think. But overall, the sound's really good. It's just not the best. And again, the surround sound, the virtual surround sound that it has is good. I've tested it in games. You can definitely identify where people are coming from. Just not necessarily the most amazing surround sound. And it's not really like marketed as like this crazy virtual surround sound headset either. Super comfortable. I think that's the best thing about it. It's incredibly comfortable. The microphone's really good. Again, here are sound tests. So listen to those. You'll see what I'm talking about. That dual audio, really, really like that as well. Battery life is great on this as well. So I think it's a fully well-rounded headset. Has some killer features, even if you're not a crazy gamer. But that dual mode, as far as listening to two different audio sources at the same time, is great for productivity, especially if you're in meetings, but you want to listen to some music, you know, And again, you can adjust those on the fly with the headset really easily. And again, the microphone's really, really good. So if you are taking calls, you're doing meetings, it will definitely suffice for that. Even for streaming, it's going to be a lot better than a lot of other wireless or even wired headsets out there. So definitely like it. It's $229.99 right now. I think it is a fair price for everything that you are getting. Yeah. One thing I didn't like is you see that, like, that's a big...
It's pretty big, yeah.
Microphone. I don't know why it's so big. Maybe it does have some sound cancellation properties, but I felt like the end of the microphone was a bit big. And again, better virtual surround sound headsets out there, but it wasn't bad. It was just I've listened to better virtual surround sound. But overall, if you're looking for a new wireless gaming headset, this is going to be incredibly comfortable, sound good, and has a bunch of other features that some other headsets don't have. So check that review out as well. We'll move on to Case Mod Friday. And talking about Asus, surprisingly enough, the build this week for Case Mod Friday is Asus themed. So this is from SS Mods, and this is the Asus Creator build. It's done in their Creator case with all of their Creator themed ProArt Creator themed components for the most part. It has the ProArt motherboard. It has the ProArt graphics card in there. He added a screen. And just like the soft little touch of that gold in there on the fittings, I really, really like that.
Yeah, you get a little bit of gold on those ProArt products. So yeah, that those little touches make it nice.
Yeah.
I and like that screen placement too.
Yeah, the screen placement right down there.
It just fits perfectly in there.
Yeah, everything goes really together. It's just a sleek build. And again, if you're somebody who's doing rendering, designing, this would be like a solid case and build for that. So shout out to SS Mods for that. Just really, like, you can really see those fittings there. That just kind of everything just goes together really, really well in this one.
It's really nice, yeah.
And the back, just awesome. So check that out. Of course, we have our full section of Case Mod Friday builds. You just go to articles, Case Mod Friday. And there's a ton here, so you can scroll through and just see what people are building with PC parts. Get some, you know, inspiration if you were thinking about doing a build or just seeing what's possible, what you can do with PC components. So definitely check that out. Now, this week for news, we don't have a ton of stories, but we have some really interesting ones. So the first one is that OpenAI, that's, of course, you know, who's running ChatGPT, they are going to make their own AI chips. So that says something about NVIDIA. You know, NVIDIA has been like the AI, they're powering all these data centers with AI. Well, it looks like OpenAI is going to make their own hardware. Now they're partnering with TSMC to do it, which is a big win for TSMC. But do you think this is like all these big AI companies, do you think that they're going to move away from NVIDIA?
I don't know. You know, I don't know. Maybe we'll see. NVIDIA is such a juggernaut that, like, who? What I'm waiting for is for NVIDIA to not only have the hardware, but the software. Like, they're gonna have their own AI platform, right? Like, not running ChatGPT or OpenAI's platform on their hardware, and not running Google's Gemini on there, not running, you know, whatever, running their own. Like, when they come out with that and they own both pieces, kind of like Apple with their software and hardware, like, that's going to be the game changer. So
yeah,
maybe that's why they're making this move, right? To get that closer integration.
Well, I think that's why OpenAI is doing it. They want
exactly
full control over the chip. They can do kind of what they want with it, because like we've seen over the years, when it comes to working with a partner, whether it's NVIDIA, we've seen it with Intel, AMD, any of that, you're locked into whatever they're doing, and they're not always going to push firmware updates that make things better. Whereas, like, if you want to optimize your specific thing, if you control the chip, you can do all of that yourself. So yeah, big win for TSMC, and it will be interesting to see what happens when all this comes out and what NVIDIA, because again, NVIDIA is kind of the big dog when it comes to the AI stuff. So we'll see how that affects NVIDIA, of course, the stock price and all of that kind of stuff. So pretty interesting story there. Again, not really consumer focused, but it would be, right. It'd be interesting to see what NVIDIA does with that. Now, when it comes to CPUs, I typically don't advise people to buy used CPUs. It's right. not necessarily the smartest thing to do, but sometimes you do. You're looking for an old part.
Or you're getting it from someone you know, right?
Yeah. Like,
some, or something like that. A buddy's upgrading or whatever.
Or it's like part of somebody selling their old system or something like that, right? But I typically don't advise people to buy CPUs used or like off. If you're going to buy a CPU, buy it from like a Newegg or an Amazon or a Micro Center, you know, the known platforms. Well, DeBauer unearthed a pretty interesting scam going on. As this is happening in Romania, so it's not necessarily like something that a lot of us have to worry about, but it is pretty interesting. So there's a secondhand marketplace in Romania called OLX. And that's where this was sort of being sold. And some guy bought it. He put it into his system, didn't boot up at all. He tested it with a multimeter, nothing there either. And it turned out it was just completely fake chip. And DeBauer found out about this. He actually bought the chip off the guy so he can make a video illustrating what a fake chip looks like. And this is the fake chip, actually. This right here is an actual chip. And one of the things you do see is, one, the PCBs are completely two different colors. Two is that there's this glue on top of the capacitors here. On this one, they shouldn't be like that. Like, there should be this type of glue on the top. But he goes over that in his video. So we have the video in the actual article. So if you want to educate yourself and want some of the reasons or some of the things you want to look for if you are buying a secondhand CPU, he actually even said that when he put the CPU in a motherboard, the latch went down so much easier compared to like a real chip. So there's a bunch of differences that he talked about in the video. So check out the video. But I mean, people
serial
are doing
numbers matched like the chip, the heat sink on the, or the heat spreader on the chip matched the serial number on the box though. Like, so they at least went to that effort. Yeah. Right. But yeah, this is not going to work.
But here's what the bad chip looks like. Like, there's no CPU under here. Like, it's not there. You know what I mean? So yeah, stuff like this is going on. Not as much, I would say, in the United States, but I guess it could be. But yeah, check out the video. Like I said, really interesting to see ways you can kind of tell if it's fake. I think that's the biggest thing. So definitely go ahead and check that out. And shout out to DeBauer for making that cool video that definitely informs all of us if we're buying off a secondhand market. Again, I don't recommend it. But yeah. So from there, we'll go to Intel. In good news for Intel, because we've been talking bad news for Intel for the past couple months, it seems.
Yeah.
They released their Intel Core Ultra 200V processors today. And these are mobile processors. These are going to power a bunch of new laptops, AI capabilities, all that kind of stuff. We do have the full lineup here. The one that you're mostly going to see are going to be the higher end ones. So like the Intel Core Ultra 9 288V, that's going to be 8-core, 8-thread parts. Again, these are not super high end either. But the thing that they kind of touted with these is better battery life. And better battery life against Qualcomm, who is their big competitor in this space, that when it comes to mobile parts, that's kind of the biggest thing that you want is long battery life. I remember like one of my first couple laptops, it was like you get an hour a battery life.
Well, we struggle with that at work all the time, right? Like managing performance and battery life and, you know, the number of applications everybody's running all at once. It's, yeah, battery life is very important.
Yeah, so they beat Qualcomm in this by a lot, you know, in certain things. Office productivity, 14 hours, still beating them in Microsoft Teams and everything like that. And again, these aren't going to be powering your gaming laptops, but these are going to be powering your productivity laptops, lower end laptops. So big win for Intel on this. Of course, it's part of their Lunar Lake rollouts here. So good to see that. We have all the details in here if you guys are interested. I know a lot of you guys aren't interested because these aren't the high-end parts when it comes to laptops or anything like that. But we have all the details if you want to go ahead and check that out. So finally, a good Intel news story. We've had a lot of bad ones.
Yeah.
So good for them on that. Now, Acer had this whole event where they announced a ton of stuff. They announced their first gaming handheld, which we'll talk about. They announced 600 hertz gaming monitors. They announced a ton of stuff. They had this big event. One of the things they announced, I thought was, I wanted to get your opinion on it. It is their Project Dual Play. And if I bring up the photo here, it is a gaming laptop that comes with a controller that is detachable from the laptop.
Yep.
What do you think?
Do they show it with the controller attached to the laptop at all?
No.
Because I feel like those can, like...
Is there supposed to be a screen attached here? Like, I don't... Like, well, why is this...
Do those pieces go on the sides? Like, I assume they connect on the sides of that, right? What are those little bump outs for?
I don't know.
But it also looks like it could dock where your touchpad is.
Yeah, maybe like the
previous image, right? Maybe that's a touchpad there. Because if you go up to the other image, it looks like that dips down in and that would sit. But if so, then you've got your thumb sticks and everything sticking up. And how does your screen close? I don't know.
Well, no, I think I need more info. What I think is if you flip this over, it's your touchpad.
There you go.
So these are like the connection points for it on this side.
Yep.
You can kind of see them right there.
That's what it is.
Is there a lot of controller gamers that are playing on a laptop? Maybe.
And then what are those side things? Are they speakers?
I have no clue. I don't know what any of this is. I just saw it.
They go on the side so you can play like a realistic pinball game.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's interesting.
I'm trying to read all this. It's just... Yeah, I don't know. Oh, 5-watt pop-out speakers.
Okay. There we go.
Honestly, everybody should just take I'm not a fan of that. Lenovo with their soundbar is amazing.
Yeah.
I think that's a much like pop out speakers. Seems gimmicky.
And yeah, this thing's full of gimmicks, but.
And how many people are going to use it?
Well, I don't know.
But we've said this about previous products, and then like. A year in, I'm like, I would totally make use of that.
Yeah. I don't know. It's interesting. Controllers have become more popular in PC gaming because of console ports, is what old man says.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I think the Switch has... Well, I mean, all three of the major consoles, right, have just... Because my son, that's all he does. He plays with a controller. Right? And that's how he prefers to play.
Yeah, I guess the younger generation, you know, they're playing with the controller.
But at the same time, if we're playing Minecraft, he'll play on a keyboard and mouse.
Yeah. It's an interesting concept. Will it make... How much more expensive is this laptop now that it has...
Right. Because you got to have a battery in that thing now.
Yeah.
Because if you're taking it out and it's wireless and it's got lights, You got a little bit of battery in there that's got to be charged up. A lot of moving parts too, right? That's where you usually get the brakes, like your speakers that pop out and the Pogo connection pins and the battery inside that thing. So
yeah, we'll see. And like, okay, so say here's what I'm thinking too. Okay, so this is your controller. Obviously on the flip side of this controller is your touchpad,
right?
Say for some reason you get tabbed out of your game. Like, you have to put it back in and use the mouse.
Yeah, you got to flip it over, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Interesting concept, though. Called dual play. We'll see if any actual product... This is a render, so we'll see if any actual products come out from Acer on this.
Now, they I would think that it'd make the base very thick of your laptop.
Yeah.
For that controller to be comfortable, right?
Yeah. But they did announce something else. They announced their first gaming handheld. So they're also joining the gaming handheld craze, which they should. I think any big company should. It just makes sense. So it's called the Nitro Blaze 7, powered by, of course, the AMD Ryzen 7 8840HS. This is what it looks like here. Looks like any other gaming handheld. Pretty standard though, like nothing crazy, no pop-up screen, no keyboard. Looks like we have some nice ventilation on the back, which is good. I have the whole specs here. Let's see. AMD Radeon 7780M graphics, 1080p IPS display, 144 hertz, 500 nits, 16 gigabytes of RAM, up to 2 terabytes Gen 4 by 4 NVMe, USB 4, micro SD card. Yeah,
not bad. Yeah, like you said, it's good that, you know, all these companies are getting in. More options for consumers is great, and then competition usually drives that price down a little bit. So
yeah, so good to see from Acer again, somebody else just jumping on this bandwagon. Yeah, so it's good to see another one come out and give you guys more options too. Like if you are looking for a gaming handheld, here's another one from, again, some of the companies you might like, Antec, like,
yeah,
you know, or like
I can see Acer, right? They're used to making components not like this, but I would trust an Acer.
And they have their whole Predator line of gaming stuff. Right. Like they're a known brand, so I would trust them more than an Antec for a gaming handheld. Then I'm going to spend at least, do we have prices? Yeah. I don't think we have prices in here for this. No. But you know, you're going to spend at least $600 to $800 on this. Yep. So definitely cool to see. So keep you updated when we know more as far as pricing and availability on that. But that was one of the other big things that they did announce. Now, an interesting turn of events here. We've talked about Aya Neo and their gaming handhelds, but they're typically weren't really sold in the United States at all. But gaming handhelds, as much as Ryan and I talk about how we don't use them, we wouldn't use them, you know, they are extremely popular. And Aya Neo gaming handhelds are now being sold at least on BestBuy.com. I don't know if actual in store.
I should have looked. I was just there tonight.
Yeah. But yeah, so the Aya Neo gaming handhelds, we've talked about a bunch of them. They have some really cool ones, but they're being sold through Best Buy. So you can buy their Kun, which is their 8.4 inch one, $1,000, but it's on Best Buy. You can buy it. And they have their Next Light as well, which is this one, available on Best Buy. So awesome for them to get
handheld. That's not bad.
Yeah. So awesome for them for getting at least on Best Buy. Again, when you're an enthusiast or just saying when you're a consumer in general, like buying from Best Buy seems safe. Buying off of some of these aren't available even on Newegg and other places. So you want a place where you can buy these. And again, Aya Neo actually has some really cool gaming handhelds, and typically they're a little bit less expensive than some of the other ones. They have some really cool features. So awesome for them for getting into Best Buy. I think that's great. And again, it breeds, like Ryan said, it breeds more competition, which I think is the biggest thing. That brings prices down. That also brings innovation and just better overall quality of all of these gaming handhelds. So yeah, awesome to see. We have the links if you want to pick those up as well in the article. So definitely go ahead and check that out. Two more stories here. First one, we talked about Be Quiet adding some RGB to their air coolers. They just came out with all RGB AIO. So they hadn't had one yet. So this is their light loop AIO liquid CPU coolers, both black and the white version here. So both of these, pretty standard. I wasn't expecting a screen or anything like that from them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not initially, for sure.
Yeah, but good to see. I like their air coolers a lot. I used one for like the longest time for my test system and I had no issues with it at all. I think the pump cover here is fine with their logo. And again, that gives you some RGB there too. Any other thoughts on this since you're the AIO guy?
No, it looks like pretty basic, you know, entry level all-in-one cooler knowing much more about it. It looks like from the looks of the fans, right? We're not going to get like daisy chained fans that are, you know, cableless or anything like that.
Yeah.
But no, it's always, yeah, good to have a start in like adding some color to Be Quiet's line. You know, we're used to just like the black kind of design, and this will expand, you know, maybe someone would go with a Be Quiet because they like that brand but wanted some lighting. Now they've got an option.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. Like when brands don't offer, that's what like we talk about with Noctua too. It's like you don't offer the RGB. There's people that do just want that little bit of lighting inside their system.
Yep.
And I mean, I've seen people put RGB fans on Noctua.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're probably not getting the performance you could get with a Noctua fan, but if Noctua is not going to give you RGB, well.
Yeah, that's kind of, you know, what you got to do. So good for Be Quiet. It's a simple design. I like it. I assume performance is good based on what we've seen from them in the past. 240 and 360 millimeter versions, both black and white. We have all the pricing. So the 240, interesting, about a $5 difference compared to the white. So the whites are more expensive. So the 240, $134.90 for the, or $129.90 for the black and $134.90 for the white. And then the 360s, the black one is $159.90. The white is $164.90. So not horrible prices there either. So definitely check those out if you are looking for a new AIO. And then finally, we have a new QDO LED from Corsair. So this is their Xenon QDO LED QHD 240 hertz, $1,200. This is their 34WQHD240-C. Would you want this monitor?
I'll take it.
Is this a Ryan?
You gonna send me one?
We gotta ask Corsair to send me one, but no. But 34-inch, 240 hertz. Right, I feel like we're just getting these super high refresh rate at 34 inches. Again, you need a pretty powerful monitor to push that.
Right. Yep.
1,000 nit peak brightness too, which is, that's bright.
It's very bright. It's very bright.
Very, very bright on there. QD OLED. It's going to be awesome. Great panel on this.
Yeah, no doubt it looks good, but it is very premium priced. Yeah.
And one thing I like about Corsair in there, look at the back. Everything comes out the back. It's like this monitor here that I have from Aorus. I had to go up under to get all my, like, usually your connections are like down here under.
Right, right.
This, everything comes out the back. Super easy. And then again,
nice, you can hub built in.
Yeah, it's a built-in hub, but you can route everything down through. It's just, monitor companies, please, please do this, because it just makes life so much easier. If you design the back of your monitor like this for the end user, makes everything easier. I'm telling you, just does. So please, please do this.
Yeah, no, this is great.
Yeah, and I like the white on the back too. It's very aesthetically pleasing for the white there. So Yeah, but this is $1,200, 34-inch, 240 hertz, supports G-Sync, AMD FreeSync Premium, like we said, 1,000 nits peak brightness, and a display HDR True Black 400. Great monitor there from Corsair. So that is it for news. Not a ton of news going on, but talking about what we have coming up next week, I'm taking a look at a portable monitor, and this one is from AOC. It's their 16T3E. Going to give you guys, this one seems pretty well designed for portability and just ease of use. Some of these are kind of, I've taken a look at a handful of these. Some of these have a ton of cables. They're hard to set up. There's all these different things, and they're kind of clunky. This one's stands built in, single cable, really easy to use, 1080p. It's just going to be that great companion laptop if you are traveling.
So it should be. Single cable's really nice.
Yeah. So it should be, and you can see the built-in stand there on the back, really easy to use. You can use it portrait, landscape. So definitely stay tuned for that next week. And we might have some other stuff. Just depends on what all I get done over these next few days. So stay tuned for that as well. Now, our question of the week, I don't know if you saw it, but
I did.
So that Acer dual play concept, a really weird gaming concept. What do you remember, any weird gaming concepts that we've seen in the past that companies have kind of shown off?
I don't know if you remember, and I thought of this one right away because I did see this question when you had shared the notes with me first. Did you ever hear of the Phantom gaming console?
No, I don't remember.
So this came out in it never really came out. Early 2000s, and it was essentially game streaming on a console, right? But way before we've had anything from Nvidia or Microsoft, right? It was just early version of console streaming type of thing. And so that was Phantomware. At the time was just so different than anything else we had seen. And okay. If you remember Hard OCP, yes. And Kyle from over there, he just dogged on that thing, and I feel there were lawsuits between the two, is how bad he went in on them. And and it turned out that they had financial issues, and then it didn't ever take off. So
I the two that really come to mind, well, one in more consumer space when it came, because it was touted for gaming, I guess, but do you remember the whole 3D TV craze?
Yes, it was forced down our throats. And
yeah, 3D TV everywhere, 3D TV, you need the glasses, everybody in your household needs the glasses, and you buy the $3,000 TV, but then everybody needs a $150 pair of glasses for it to work correctly.
And these glasses don't work with that TV. So
you had to get the Samsung glasses for the Samsung TV, the LG for the LG. I remember that.
That's how I feel with AI right now. It's I almost feel like it's the tech companies just pushing it, and nobody's really. I mean, yes, there's uses for it, but I feel like we're in 3D TVs all over again. But they're not going to give up.
One other gaming centric thing is that, I'm sure a lot of you guys might have seen this, is the original Alienware 49-inch widescreen gaming monitor from back in the day. This thing?
Oh my! Oh yes, I do remember that.
Yeah. This behemoth. I remember this. This was what? This
It looks like it's at CES.
It probably was.
It's got to be.
This was. Let me see if I can.
That's find. Rear projection LCD, like my first HDTV was. Right, I had a Sony Vega or whatever that was.
So this was from 2008.
Oh my gosh.
So it used four DLPs synced together to a single frame, and it was $8,000 for this thing. So this is this is what it was, and this was 49 inch widescreen is pretty normal. You know, I've been running a 49 inch.
That's still very large for most people.
But in 2008,
yeah,
it was not a thing. And again, if you look, Crysis, that wasn't really running at its, that full.
No, it is. That's just the menu.
Oh, I guess. Yeah. I guess you're right. They might have even had to mod Crysis for it to run.
Right, so even run at that resolution. Yeah.
But this thing was a behemoth, this big thing. I remember that for like a gaming concept. Got the old school
Alienware case back there too.
Yeah, back there. Old man in the chat says Sony had their own 3D TV made for the PS. I'm guessing that's
PS3.
PS3. Yeah. Yeah, there has been some interesting. I'm trying to think of anything else that I can think of that was like companies were just trying to push it and it just never caught on. Like 3D TV is the big one. That was the big one.
I feel like that's a pretty strong one, to be honest.
Yeah,
but he old man also said he has a 55-inch Samsung 4K 3D TV. I mean, it's one of those things where they can probably add that feature to a current TV without much cost.
Samsung did just show their 3D new gaming monitors like a couple weeks ago that were 3D. I don't think they use glasses. Nice. But yeah, we've seen some gimmicks over the years when it comes to like weird gaming things. I'm trying to think if there's any. Oh, do you remember the gaming backpacks? The Zotac had one.
Oh yeah, we wore them. We played. We did VR.
Yeah, the VR backpack. So VR impractical, backpack, honestly.
Right, right. The battery you're gonna have to lug around in that thing, or like
they were heavy too,
tethered to a power cord and everything.
That's the one. Do we have? Let's see if I can find, because I know we have pictures of it somewhere.
We all tried it on and used it.
Yeah. Let me see if I can find it. That Zotac backpack. I remember Zotac was one of the ones that had this. Basically, a PC you wore as a backpack so you could play VR. Oh, here it is. This was their VR Go backpack. And this is back in 2016.
Oh, back then already?
Yeah, we're old.
So I know we used it in 18 or 19, one of the two.
They had it for a while, and I just think that VR, it would just...
Wasn't there.
Yeah, it just...
And I guess maybe that's another one, VR headsets. Like, we still have the Oculus and things like that, but they're just not exploded. Like, it's not like everybody has one by any means.
Yeah, so this is from when... I believe this is from when I went to I went to Hong Kong, but like this was the backpack and essentially it was a PC in a backpack that you would wear and then you would play VR.
You got to hope you don't run into anybody with that.
Yeah.
Thing.
So like, they showed it with this girl, but like, here's the VR headset that she has. And Ryan and I both played with these and like, it was cool, but it was like, this is not what you want to do at home. No. Put a backpack on, you know. Yeah. So, and like, imagine if you were hardwired in with the Ethernet here.
Got this big, yeah.
But yeah, just... VR headsets, like I said, I think, Apple did put up, like, for gaming, I think a lot of gamers were excited for the VR headsets. I don't think it ever really, I think the biggest thing is like, well, there was Half-Life Alyx, but beyond that, like there was like maybe like five. Like, can you name five VR games?
I had to.
That's what I mean. There's like not a whole lot of games.
Yeah.
So that's a big thing when it came to VR too. It's like they needed a lot better games, and there weren't a whole lot out there.
Right. It was just a bunch of like fancy tech demos is what they ended up being. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, so but yeah, that is pretty much it here for the podcast, guys. Of course, we are going to be gaming over on Twitch, so we end this stream and then Ryan boots up his that's one thing we didn't talk about. So last week Ryan had issues with his fiber. So you got fiber and you basically called them and bitched them out.
So I've had it for a month and a half now. And hadn't had any issues until like the last week and a half or 2 weeks. And I guess I probably had issues for 2 weeks. Didn't realize it, not last week, but the week before, because we didn't podcast. But yeah, last week I was noticing some audio issues towards the end of our podcast and then streaming. Like, it was just not
happening. And again, you really shouldn't have those issues at all when it comes to...
Right. I never had them even on my cable internet, right? Definitely shouldn't have them here. And so I called them up and they're like, yeah, we, you know, send over some of this info. And they're like, oh yeah, we see, that's, not good. So they made some changes, finally got those implemented because they wanted, let's see, I talked to them last Thursday, got them data from Thursday night. Cause it would only happen at night, right? Usually the busy times when people are at home streaming, playing games, things like that. And it's only from like, starts maybe kicking up at like 6 o'clock until about midnight. And you'd have this huge spike in latency and packet loss. So they wanted to see what my results were Thursday night. So I got them, shipped them off to them, and they confirmed and, you know, had to wait for the long weekend to roll over. Then they looked at them again. And then finally made some changes yesterday. I didn't notice any issues last night. So I've been kind of watching my latency and network connection here. Everything looks great so far tonight. So I think we're all set for a good stream.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah.
It's always good. Like, I feel like I'm going to be moving at the end of this month. And I haven't even checked if the new place supports AT&T fiber, I would hope, because they do have Cox. I think Cox just goes out to like all the apartment complexes and like they have the easy thing. So like you don't even have to have somebody come. It's already like the modem's already there. It's already.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like even in this unit, like there's a Cox modem in there. You just turn it on, like turn it on if you want to use it. But I wanted AT&T. I didn't want Cox. So hopefully AT&T, I mean, it's right down the road where I'm moving. So I would hope I still get AT&T fiber. We'll see. I haven't even looked yet. Old man in the chat said Concord got shut down.
Yeah.
I didn't even really, I saw the headlines. Like
when I had never even heard of the game until it was shut down.
Yeah. So I know I saw some people posting on Reddit, like it only has 500 users or something like,
I mean, it was only out for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, so it's going to be taken offline September 6th. Sales will cease and refunds will be issued. That's a big fail. We see that, though. We've seen this happen a few times with games where it's just like they don't. There was that. What was that one? I think it was like an Xbox game or something. It was like you were kind of like had like a jetpack or something. That was a big fail. This was like maybe 5 or 6 years ago, whatever that was. You see this happen where like all this time goes into this game and then just nobody wants to play it.
Or you're going into a saturated market, right? Yeah. Especially with a paid for game, right? You can play so many other games for free.
Yeah.
In certain genres, you better have something good if you're what you want people to pay for it.
Yeah. Well, talking about gaming, we are playing a game that hasn't been shut down. We're going to be playing some Apex Legends. Like I said, over on Twitch, Ryan will have that stream up. So head on over there if you want to continue to hang out with us. Of course, we thank everybody for coming out. Old man in the chat. And we will see everybody next week.